And now chapter 19 of the Madhya Lila, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of the creation and manifested the Vedic knowledge. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan, activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. And all glories to the devotees of the Lord. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the village of Ramakeli, the brothers Rupa and Sanatan returned to their homes. The two brothers devised a means whereby they could give up their material activities. For this purpose, they appointed two Brahmins and paid them a large amount of money. The Brahmins performed religious ceremonies and chanted the holy name of Krishna, so that the two brothers might attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very soon. At this time, Sri Rupa Goswami returned home, taking with him large quantities of riches loaded in boats. Srila Rupa Goswami divided the wealth that he brought back home. He gave 50% in charity to Brahmins and Vaishnavas and 25% to his relatives. He kept one-fourth of his wealth with a respectable Brahmin. He kept this for his personal safety because he was expecting some legal complications. He deposited 10,000 coins, which were later spent by Sri Sanatan Goswami in the custody of a local Bengali grocer. Sri Rupa Goswami heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned to Jagannath Puri and was preparing to go to Vrindavan through the forest. Sri Rupa Goswami sent two people to Jagannath Puri to find out when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would depart for Vrindavan. Sri Rupa Goswami told the two men, "You are to return quickly and let me know when he will depart. Then I shall make the proper arrangements." While Sanatan Goswami was at Godadesh, he was thinking, "The Nawab is very pleased with me. I certainly have an obligation. Somehow or other, if the Nawab becomes angry with me, I shall be greatly relieved. That is my conclusion." On the pretext of bad health, Sanatan Goswami remained home. Thus he gave up government service and did not go to the royal court. The greedy masters of his clerical and secretarial staff performed the government duties, while Sanatan personally remained home and discussed revealed scriptures. Sri Sanatan Goswami used to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in an assembly of 20 or 30 learned Brahmin scholars. While Sanatan Goswami was studying Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of learned Brahmins, one day the Nawab of Bengal and another person suddenly appeared. As soon as all the Brahmins and Sanatan Goswami saw the Nawab appear, they all stood up and respectfully gave him a sitting place to honor him. The Nawab said, "I sent my physician to you, and he has reported that you are not diseased. As far as he could see, you are completely healthy. I am depending on you to carry out so many of my activities, but you have given up your governmental duties to sit here at home. You have spoiled all my activities. What is your intention? Please tell me frankly." Sanatan Goswami replied, "You can no longer expect any service from me. Please arrange for someone else to tend to the management." Becoming angry with Sanatan Goswami, the Nawab said,
"Your elder brother is acting just like a plunderer. By killing many living entities, I, who am like your elder brother, have destroyed all Bengal. Now here you are destroying all my plans."
Sanatan Goswami said, "You are the supreme ruler of Bengal and are completely independent. Whenever someone commits a fault, you punish him accordingly." Hearing this, the Nawab of Bengal stood up and returned to his home. He ordered the arrest of Sanatan Goswami so that he would not be able to leave. At this time, the Nawab was going to attack the province of Orissa, and he told Sanatan Goswami,
"Come along with me."
Sanatan Goswami replied, "You are going to Orissa to give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, I am powerless to go with you." The Nawab again arrested Sanatan Goswami and kept him in prison. At this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. The two persons who went to Jagannath Puri to inquire about the Lord's departure returned and informed Rupa Goswami that the Lord had already departed for Vrindavan. Upon receiving this message from his two messengers, Rupa Goswami immediately wrote a letter to Sanatan Goswami, saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed for Vrindavan. In his letter to Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami wrote, "We two brothers are starting out to go see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must also somehow or other get released and come meet us." Rupa Goswami further informed Srila Sanatan Goswami, "I have left a deposit of 10,000 coins with the grocer. Use that money to get out of prison. Somehow or other get yourself released and come to Vrindavan." After writing this, the two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami's younger brother was a great devotee, whose actual name was Sri Vallabha, but he was given the name Anupam Malik. Sri Rupa Goswami and Anupam Malik went to Prayag, and they were very pleased to hear news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. At Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see the temple of Bindu Madhava, and many hundreds of thousands of people followed him just to meet him. Some of the people following the Lord were crying. Some were laughing, some dancing, and some chanting. Indeed, some of them were rolling on the ground, exclaiming, "Krishna! Krishna!" Prayag is located at the confluence of two rivers, the Ganges and the Yamuna. Although these rivers were not able to flood Prayag with water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole area with waves of ecstatic love for Krishna. Seeing the great crowd, the two brothers remained standing in a secluded place. They could see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to see Lord Bindu Madhava. The Lord was loudly chanting the holy name of Hari. Dancing in ecstatic love and raising his arms, he asked everyone to chant, "Hari! Hari!" Everyone was astounded to see the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, I cannot properly describe the pastimes of the Lord at Prayag. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had made an acquaintance with a Brahmin from Deccan in South India, and that Brahmin invited him for meals and took him to his place. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in a solitary place in the home of the Deccan Brahmin, Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballabha, or Anupam Malik, came to meet him. Seeing the Lord from a distance, the two brothers put two clumps of straw between their teeth and immediately fell down on the ground like rods, offering him obeisances. Both brothers were overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion, and reciting various Sanskrit verses, they stood up and fell down again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Srila Rupa Goswami, and he told him, "Stand up, stand up! My dear Rupa, come here!" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "It is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy, for he has delivered you both from the well of material enjoyment. As Krishna himself says, even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. Even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am." After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced both brothers, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his feet on their heads. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the brothers folded their hands and, in great humility, offered the following prayers to the Lord. "O most munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. We offer our respectful obeisances unto that merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has converted all three worlds, which were maddened by ignorance, and saved them from their diseased condition by making them mad with the nectar from the treasure house of love of God. Let us take full shelter of that Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, whose activities are just wonderful." After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat them down by his side and asked them, "What news do you have of Sanatan?" Rupa Goswami replied, "Sanatan has now been arrested by the government of Hussein Shah. If you kindly save him, he can be liberated from that entanglement." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately replied, "Sanatan has already been released from his confinement, and he will very soon meet with me." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then requested by the Brahmin to accept his lunch. Rupa Goswami also remained there that day. Balabhadra Bhattacharya invited the two brothers to take lunch also. The remnants of food from the plate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were offered to them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu selected his residence beside the confluence of the Ganges and Yamuna at a place called Triveni. The two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Sri Ballabha, selected their residences near the Lord's. At that time, Sri Ballabha Bhatta was staying at Adaila Gram, and when he heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, he went to his place to see him. Ballabha Bhattacharya offered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. After that, they discussed topics about Krishna for some time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt great ecstatic love when they began discussing Krishna. But the Lord checked his feelings because he felt shy before Ballabha Bhatta. Although the Lord restrained himself externally, ecstatic love raged within. There was no checking that. Ballabha Bhatta was astonished to detect this. Thereafter, Ballabha Bhatta invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for lunch, and the Lord introduced the brothers, Rupa and Ballabha, to him. From a distance, the brothers Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha fell on the ground and offered obeisances to Vallabha Bhatta with great humility. When Vallabha Bhattacharya walked toward them, they ran away to a more distant place. Rupa Goswami said, "I am untouchable and most sinful. Please do not touch me." Vallabha Bhattacharya was very surprised at this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, was very pleased, and he therefore spoke to him this description of Rupa Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't touch him, for he belongs to a very low caste. You are a follower of Vedic principles and are a well-experienced performer of many sacrifices. You also belong to the aristocracy." Hearing the holy name constantly vibrated by the two brothers, Vallabha Bhattacharya could understand the hints of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vallabha Bhattacharya admitted,
"Since these two are constantly chanting the holy name of Krishna, how can they be untouchable? On the contrary, they are most exalted."
Vallabha Bhattacharya then recited the following verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam.
"My dear Lord, one who always keeps your holy name on his tongue becomes greater than an initiated Brahmin. Although he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, he may therefore, by material calculation, be the lowest among men. He is still glorious. This is the wonderful effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. It is therefore concluded that one who chants the holy name of the Lord should be understood to have performed all kinds of austerities and great sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. He has already taken his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. He has studied all the Vedas, and he is actually an Aryan."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear Vallabha Bhatta quoting from Shastra about the position of a devotee. The Lord praised him personally, and feeling ecstatic love of Godhead, began to quote many verses from Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "A person who has the pure characteristics of a Brahmin due to devotional service, which is like a blazing fire burning to ashes all the sinful reactions of past lives, is certainly saved from the consequences of sinful acts, such as taking birth in a lower family. Even though he may be born in a family of dog-eaters, he is recognized by learned scholars. However, although a person may be a learned scholar in Vedic knowledge, he is not recognized if he is an atheist. For a person devoid of devotional service, birth in a great family or nation, knowledge of revealed scripture, performance of austerities and penance, and chanting of Vedic mantras are all like ornaments on a dead body. Such ornaments simply serve the concocted pleasures of the general populace." When he saw the Lord's ecstatic love, Vallabha Bhattacharya was certainly very astonished. He was also astonished by the Lord's knowledge of the essence of devotional service, as well as by his personal beauty and influence. Vallabha Bhattacharya then put Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates aboard a boat and took them to his own place to offer them lunch. While crossing the river Yamuna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the glossy black water and was immediately bewildered with ecstatic love. Indeed, as soon as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the river Yamuna, he immediately made a great sound and jumped into the water. Everyone was filled with fear and trembling to see this. They all hastily grabbed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pulled him out of the water. Once on the boat's platform, the Lord began to dance. Due to the Lord's heavy weight, the boat began to tilt. It began filling up with water and was on the verge of sinking. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to restrain himself as far as possible before Vallabha Bhattacharya. But although he tried to keep calm, his ecstatic love could not be checked. Seeing the circumstances, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally became calm so that the boat was able to reach the shore of Adaila and land there. Fearing for the Lord's welfare, Vallabha Bhattacharya stayed in his association. After arranging for the Lord's bath, he took him to his own house. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at his home, Vallabha Bhattacharya, being greatly pleased, offered the Lord a nice sitting place and personally washed his feet. Vallabha Bhattacharya and his whole family then sprinkled that water over their heads. They then offered the Lord new underwear and outer garments. Vallabha Bhattacharya worshipped the Lord with great pomp, offering scents, incense, flowers, and lamps, and with great respect, he induced Balabhadra Bhattacharya, the Lord's cook, to cook. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offered lunch with great care and affection. The brothers Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha were also offered food. Vallabha Bhattacharya first offered the remnants of the Lord's food to Srila Rupa Goswami and then to Krishna Das. The Lord was then given spices to purify his mouth. Afterwards, he was made to rest, and Vallabha Bhattacharya personally massaged his legs. While Vallabha Bhattacharya was massaging him, the Lord asked him to go to take prasad. After taking prasad, he returned to the lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, there arrived Raghupati Upadhyaya, who belonged to the Tiruhita district. He was a very learned scholar, a great devotee, and a respectable gentleman. Raghupati Upadhyaya first offered his respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord gave him his blessing, saying, "Always stay in Krishna consciousness." Raghupati Upadhyaya was very pleased to hear the Lord's blessings. The Lord then asked him to describe Krishna. When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested to describe Krishna, he began to recite some verses he had personally composed about Krishna's pastimes. Hearing those verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Raghupati Upadhyaya recited,
"Those who are afraid of material existence worship Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries to Vedic literature, and others worship the Mahabharat. As far as I am concerned, I worship Maharaj Nanda, the father of Krishna, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is playing."
When Raghupati Upadhyaya was requested by the Lord to recite more, he immediately offered his respects to the Lord and granted his request.
"To whom can I speak? Who will believe me when I say that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is hunting the gopis in the bushes by the banks of the river Yamuna? In this way, the Lord demonstrates his pastimes."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Raghupati Upadhyaya to continue speaking about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Thus the Lord was absorbed in ecstatic love, and his mind and body slackened. When Raghupati Upadhyaya saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms, he decided that the Lord was not a human being, but Krishna himself. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Raghupati Upadhyaya, "According to your decision, who is the foremost being?" Raghupati Upadhyaya replied,
"Lord Shyamasundara is the supreme form."
"Of all Krishna's abodes, which do you think is the best?"
"Madhupuri or Mathura Dham is certainly the best."
"Of the three ages of Krishna, known as childhood, boyhood, and fresh youth, which do you consider best?"
"Fresh youth is the best age."
"Among all the mellows, which do you consider best?"
"The mellow of conjugal love is supermost."
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "You have certainly given first-class conclusions." After saying this, he began to recite the full verse with a faltering voice. The form of Shyamasundara is the supreme form. The city of Mathura is the supreme abode. Lord Krishna's fresh youth should always be meditated upon, and the mellow of conjugal love is the supreme mellow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Raghupati Upadhyaya in ecstatic love. Raghupati Upadhyaya was also overwhelmed by love, and he began to dance. Vallabha Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghupati Upadhyaya dance. He even brought forward his two sons and made them fall down at the Lord's lotus feet. Upon hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived, all the villagers went to see him. Simply by seeing him, they all became devotees of Krishna. All the Brahmins of the village were anxious to extend invitations to the Lord, but Vallabha Bhattacharya forbade them to do so. Vallabha Bhatta then decided not to keep Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Adaila, because the Lord had jumped into the river Yamuna in ecstatic love. Therefore, he decided to bring him to Prayag. Vallabha Bhatta said, "If anyone likes, he can go to Prayag and extend invitations to the Lord." In this way, he took the Lord with him and departed for Prayag. Vallabha Bhattacharya avoided the river Yamuna. Putting the Lord on a boat in the river Ganges, he went with him to Prayag. Due to the great crowds in Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called Dashashvamedha Ghat. It was there that the Lord instructed Sri Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Srila Rupa Goswami the ultimate limit of the truth about Lord Krishna, and the truth about devotional service, and the truth about transcendental mellows, consummating in conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. Finally, he told Rupa Goswami about the ultimate conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Rupa Goswami all the conclusions he had heard from Ramananda Roy, and duly empowered him so that he could understand them. By entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In his book, Chaitanya Chandrodaya, Kavi Karnapur, the son of Shivananda Sen, has elaborately described the meeting between Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. From the very beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami was deeply attracted by the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, he was permanently relieved from family life. Srila Rupa Goswami and his younger brother, Vallabha, were blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the Lord was transcendentally situated in his transcendental eternal form, at Prayag, he told Rupa Goswami about the transcendental ecstatic love of Krishna. The Lord then embraced him very fondly and bestowed all his mercy upon him. Indeed, Srila Rupa Goswami, whose dear friend was Swarup Damodar, was the exact replica of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was very, very dear to the Lord. Being the embodiment of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love, Rupa Goswami was naturally very beautiful. he very carefully followed the principles enunciated by the Lord, and he was a competent person to explain properly the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded his mercy to Srila Rupa Goswami just so he could render service by writing transcendental literatures. The characteristics of Srila Rupa Goswami have thus been described in various places by the poet Kavi Karnapur. An account has also been given of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his causeless mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami were the objects of love and honor for all the great stalwart devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If someone returned to his country after seeing Vrindavan, the associates of the Lord would ask him questions. They would ask those returning from Vrindavan, "How are Rupa and Sanatan doing in Vrindavan? What are their activities in the renounced order? How do they manage to eat?" These were the questions asked. The Lord's associates would also ask, "How is it that Rupa and Sanatan are engaging in devotional service 24 hours daily?" At that time, the person who had returned from Vrindavan would praise Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami and say,
"The brothers actually have no fixed residence. They reside beneath trees, one night under one tree and the next night under another. Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami beg a little food from the houses of Brahmins. Giving up all kinds of material enjoyment, they only take some dry bread and fried chickpeas. They carry only water pots, and they wear just torn quilts. They always chant the holy names of Krishna and discuss his pastimes. In great jubilation, they also dance. They engage almost 24 hours daily in rendering service to the Lord. They usually sleep only an hour and a half, and some days, when they continuously chant the Lord's holy name, they do not sleep at all. Sometimes they write transcendental literatures about devotional service, and sometimes they hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spend their time just thinking about the Lord."
When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear of the activities of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they would say, "What is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy?" Srila Rupa Goswami has personally spoken about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his auspicious introduction to his book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He said, "Although I am the lowest of men and have no knowledge, the inspiration to write transcendental literatures about devotional service has been mercifully bestowed upon me. Therefore, I am offering my obeisances at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given me the chance to write these books." For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Prayag and instructed Rupa Goswami, empowering him with the necessary potency. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Rupa, please listen to me. It is not possible to describe devotional service completely. Therefore, I am just trying to give you a synopsis of the symptoms of devotional service. The ocean of the transcendental mellow of devotional service is so big that no one can estimate its length and breadth. However, just to help you taste it, I am describing but one drop. In this universe, there are limitless living entities in 8,400,000 species, and all are wandering within this universe. The length and breadth of the living entity is described as 1/10,000th part of the tip of a hair. This is the original, subtle nature of the living entity. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts, and then take one of these parts and divide it again into 100 parts, that very fine division is the size of but one of the numberless living entities. They are all chit-kana, particles of spirit, not matter. Also in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, if we divide the tip of a hair into 100 parts, and then take one part and divide this into another 100 parts, that 10,000th part is the dimension of the living entity. This is the verdict of the chief Vedic mantras. Further in the Bhagavatam, among minute particles, I am the living entity. O Lord, although the living entities who have accepted material bodies are spiritual and unlimited in number, if they were all pervading, there would be no question of their being under your control. If they are accepted, however, as particles of the eternally existing spiritual entity, as part of you, who are the Supreme Spirit whole, we must conclude that they are always under your control. If the living entities are simply satisfied with being identical with you as spiritual particles, then they will be happy being controllers of so many things. The conclusion that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are one and the same is a faulty conclusion. It is not a fact. The unlimited living entities can be divided into two divisions, those that can move and those that cannot move. Among living entities that can move, there are birds, aquatics, and animals. Although the living entities, known as human beings, are very small in quantity, that division may be still further subdivided, for there are many uncultured human beings like Malechas, Pulindas, Bodhas, and Shabaras. Among human beings, those who are followers of the Vedic principles are considered civilized. Among these, almost half simply give lip service, while committing all kinds of sinful activities against these principles. Such people do not care for the regulative principles. Among the followers of Vedic knowledge, most are following the process of fruitive activity and distinguishing between good and bad work. Out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise. Out of many millions of such wise men, one may actually become liberated, and out of many millions of such liberated persons, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna is very difficult to find. Because a devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, he is peaceful. Fruitive workers desire material enjoyment, jnanis desire liberation, and yogis desire material opulence. Therefore they are all lusty and cannot be peaceful. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, O great sage, out of many millions of materially liberated people who are free from ignorance, and out of many millions of siddhas who have nearly attained perfection, there is hardly one pure devotee of Narayan. Only such a devotee is actually completely satisfied and peaceful. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. When a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravan and kirtan, hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. As one waters the bhakti lata bij, the seed sprouts, and the creeper gradually increases to the point where it penetrates the walls of this universe and goes beyond the Viraja River between the spiritual world and the material world. It attains Brahmaloka, the Brahman effulgence, and penetrating through that stratum, it reaches the spiritual sky and the spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. Being situated in one's heart and being watered by Shravan Kirtan, the bhakti creeper grows more and more. In this way, it attains the shelter of the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is eternally situated in the planet known as Goloka Vrindavan, in the topmost region of the spiritual sky. The creeper greatly expands in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, and there it produces the fruit of love for Krishna. Although remaining in the material world, the gardener regularly sprinkles the creeper with the water of hearing and chanting. If the devotee commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnav while cultivating the creeper of devotional service in the material world, his offense is compared to a mad elephant that uproots the creeper and breaks it. In this way, the leaves of the creeper are dried up. The gardener must defend the creeper by fencing it all around, so that the powerful elephant of offenses may not enter. Sometimes, unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow, along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection, such as diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. If one does not distinguish between the bhakti lata creeper and the other creepers, the sprinkling of water is misused because the other creepers are nourished while the bhakti lata creeper is curtailed. As soon as an intelligent devotee sees an unwanted creeper growing beside the original creeper, he must cut it down instantly. Then the real creeper of bhakti lata bij grows nicely, returns home back to Godhead, and seeks shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna. When the fruit of devotional service becomes ripe and falls down, the gardener tastes the fruit and thus takes advantage of the creeper and reaches the desire tree of the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. There the devotee serves the lotus feet of the Lord, which are compared to a wish-fulfilling tree. With great bliss, he tastes the juice of the fruit of love and becomes eternally happy. To taste the fruit of devotional service at Goloka Vrindavan is the highest perfection of life, and in the presence of such perfection, the four material perfections, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, are very insignificant achievements. As long as there is not the slightest fragrance of pure love of Krishna, which is the perfected medicinal herb for controlling Lord Krishna within the heart, the opulences of material perfection, known as the siddhis, the brahminical perfections, the trance of the yogis, and the monistic bliss of Brahman, all seem wonderful for men. When one is situated in pure devotional service, he develops love of Godhead. Therefore, let me describe some of the symptoms of pure devotional service. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. A pure devotee must not cherish any other desire than to serve Krishna. He should not offer worship to the demigods or to mundane personalities. he should not cultivate artificial knowledge which is devoid of Krishna consciousness, and he should not engage himself in anything other than Krishna conscious activities. One must engage all one's purified senses in the service of the Lord. This is the favorable execution of Krishna conscious activities. These activities are called Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service. If one renders such pure devotional service, he develops his original love for Krishna in due course of time. In Vedic literatures, like the Pancharatras and Srimad Bhagavatam, these symptoms are described. Bhakti, or devotional service, means engaging all our senses in the service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of all the senses. When the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from all material designations, and simply by being employed in the service of the Lord, one's senses are purified. As the Lord says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, just as the celestial waters of the Ganges flow unobstructed into the ocean, so when my devotees simply hear of me, their minds come to me. I reside in the hearts of all. These are the characteristics of transcendental loving service to Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is causeless and it cannot be obstructed in any way. My devotees do not accept Salokya, Sarshti, Sarupya, Samipya, or oneness with me, even if I offer these liberations in preference to serving me. Bhakti Yoga, as described above, is the ultimate goal of life. By rendering devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one transcends the modes of material nature and attains the spiritual position on the platform of direct devotional service. If one is infected with the desire for material enjoyment or material liberation, he cannot rise to the platform of pure loving service unto the Lord, even though he may superficially render devotional service according to the routine regulative principles. The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. By regularly rendering devotional service, one gradually becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When that attachment is intensified, it becomes love of Godhead. The basic aspects of prema, when gradually increasing to different states, are affection, abhorrence, love, attachment, further attachment, ecstasy, and great ecstasy. The gradual development of love may be compared to different states of sugar. First there is the seed of the sugar cane, then sugar cane, and then the juice extracted from the cane. When this juice is boiled, it forms a liquid molasses, then a solid molasses, then sugar, candy, rock candy, and finally lozenges. All these stages combined are called sthayi bhava, or continuous love of Godhead in devotional service. In addition to these stages, there are vibhav and anubhav, or various devotional symptoms. When the higher standard of ecstatic love is mixed with the symptoms of sattvic and vyabhachari, the devotee relishes the transcendental bliss of loving Krishna in a variety of nectarian tastes. These tastes are like a combination of yogurt, sugar candy, ghee, black pepper, and camphor, and are as palatable as sweet nectar. According to the devotee, attachment falls within the five categories of Shantarati, Dasyarati, Sakyarati, Vatsalyarati, and Madurarati. These five categories arise from the devotee's different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also of five varieties. The chief transcendental mellows experienced with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are five: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhura. Besides the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. In addition to the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. The five direct transcendental mellows of devotional service are permanently situated in the heart of the devotee, whereas the seven indirect emotions appear suddenly under certain conditions and appear more powerful. Examples of Shanta Bhaktas are the nine Yogendras and the four Kumaras. Examples of devotees in Dasya Bhakti are innumerable, for such devotees exist everywhere. In Vrindavan, examples of devotees in fraternity are Sridham and Sudama. In Dwarka, the Lord's friends are Bhima and Arjuna. In Vrindavan, the devotees in parental love are Mother Yashoda and Father Nanda Maharaj. And in Dwarka, the Lord's parents are Vasudev and Devaki. There are also other superior persons who are devotees in parental love. The chief devotees in conjugal love are the gopis in Vrindavan, the queens in Dwarka, and the goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha. These devotees are innumerable. Attachment for Krishna is divided into two categories. One is attachment with awe and reverence, and the other is pure attachment without reverence. Pure attachment without reverence is found in Goloka Vrindavan. Attachment in which awe and reverence are prominent is found in the two cities, Mathura and Dwarka, and in Vaikuntha. When opulence is very prominent, love of Godhead is somewhat crippled. According to Kevala devotion, however, even though the devotee sees the unlimited potency of Krishna, he considers himself equal with him. On the transcendental platform of neutrality and service, sometimes the opulence of the Lord is prominent. However, in the transcendental mellows of fraternal, paternal, and conjugal love, the opulence is minimized. When Krishna offered prayers at the lotus feet of his mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, they both felt awe, reverence, and fear due to knowledge of his opulences. When Devaki and Vasudeva understood that their two sons, Krishna and Balaram, who had paid obeisances to them, were the Supreme Personality of Godhead, well, they became fearful and did not embrace them. When Krishna manifested his universal form, Arjuna became reverent and fearful, and he begged forgiveness for his past impudence toward Krishna as a friend. He said, "I have in the past addressed you as, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, without knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times while we were relaxing, lying on the same bed, or eating together, sometimes alone, and sometimes in front of many friends. Oh, please excuse me for all my offenses." Although Krishna was joking with Queen Rukmini, she was thinking that he was going to give up her company, and she was therefore shocked. While Krishna was joking with Rukmini in Dwarka, she was full of distress, fear, and lamentation. She had also lost her intelligence. She dropped her hand bangles and the fan she was using to fan the Lord. Her hair became disarrayed, and she fainted and fell suddenly, appearing like a banana tree knocked down by high winds. In the stage of Kevala, or unalloyed devotion, a devotee does not consider the unlimited opulence of Krishna, even though he experiences it. He takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna. When Mother Yashoda saw all the universes within Krishna's mouth, she was astonished for the time being. The Lord is worshipped like Indra and other demigods by the followers of the three Vedas who offer him sacrifices. He is worshipped as impersonal Brahman by saintly persons who understand his greatness through studying the Upanishads, as the Purusha by great philosophers who analytically study the universe, as the all-pervading Supersoul by great yogis, and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees. Nevertheless, Mother Yashoda considered the Lord her own son. Although Krishna is beyond sense perception and is unmanifest to human beings, he takes up the guise of a human being with a material body. Thus, Mother Yashoda thought him to be her son, and she bound Lord Krishna with a rope to a wooden mortar as if he were an ordinary child. When Krishna was defeated by Sridhama, he had to carry him on his shoulders. Similarly, Bhadrasen carried Vrishabha and Pralamba carried Balaram, the son of Rohini. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Radharani said, "My dear most Krishna, you are worshipping me and giving up the company of all the other gopis who wanted to enjoy themselves with you." Thinking like this, Srimati Radharani considered herself Krishna's most beloved gopi. She had become proud and had left the Ras Lila with Krishna. In the deep forest she said, "My dear Krishna, I cannot walk anymore. You can take me wherever you like." When Srimati Radharani petitioned Krishna in this way, Krishna said, "Just get up on my shoulders." As soon as Srimati Radharani began to do so, he disappeared. Srimati Radharani then began to grieve over her request and Krishna's disappearance. "Dear Krishna, neglecting the order of our husbands and sons, family, brothers and friends, and leaving their company, we gopis have come to you. You know everything about our desires. We have only come because we are attracted by your supremely musical flute. However, you are a great cheater. Who else would give up the company of young girls like us in the dead of night?" When one is fully attached to Krishna's lotus feet, one attains the shamatha stage. The word shamatha is derived from the word sham. Therefore, shantaras, the position of neutrality, means being fully attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is the verdict from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This state is called self-realization. These are the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. "When one's intelligence is fully attached to my lotus feet, but one does not render practical service, one has attained the stage called shantarati or sham. Without shantarati, attachment to Krishna is very difficult to achieve." As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the word sham or shantaras indicates that one is attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dham means controlling the senses and not being deviated from the Lord's service. Endurance of unhappiness is titiksha, and dritti means controlling the tongue and the genitals. Giving up all desires not connected with Krishna is the business of one who is in the shantaras. Only a devotee of Krishna can be situated on that platform. He is thus called a Shantaras Bhakta. When a devotee is situated on the platform of Shantaras, he desires neither elevation to the heavenly planets nor liberation. These are the results of karma and jnana, and the devotee considers them no better than hell. A person situated on the Shantaras platform manifests the two transcendental qualities of detachment from all material desire and full attachment to Krishna. A person who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is not afraid of anything. Elevation to the heavenly kingdom, condemnation to hell, and liberation from material bondage all appear the same to a devotee. These two qualities of the Shanta stage spread through the lives of all devotees. They are like the quality of sound in the sky. Sound vibration is found in all material elements. It is the nature of Shantaras that not even the smallest intimacy exists. Rather, knowledge of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma is prominent. On the platform of Shantaras, one only realizes his constitutional position. However, when one is raised to the platform of Dasyaras, he better understands the full opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the Dasyaras platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed with awe and veneration. By rendering service unto Lord Krishna, the devotee in Dasyaras gives constant happiness to the Lord. The qualities of Shantaras are also present in Dasyaras, but service is added. Thus, the Dasyaras platform contains the qualities of both Shantaras and Dasyaras. The qualities of Shantaras and the service of Dasyaras are both present on the platform of Sakyaras. On the platform of fraternity, the qualities of Dasyaras are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and veneration. On the Sakyaras platform, the devotee sometimes offers the Lord service and sometimes makes Krishna serve him in exchange. In their mock fighting, the cowherd boys would sometimes climb on Krishna's shoulders, and sometimes they would make Krishna climb on their shoulders. Since the platform of fraternity is predominated by confidential service, awe and veneration are absent. Therefore, Sakyaras is characterized by three qualities. On the platform of Sakyaras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is obliged to the devotees who are intimate with Krishna and think themselves equal to him. On the platform of parental love, the qualities of Shantaras, Dasyaras, and Sakyaras are transformed into a form of service called maintenance. The essence of fraternal love is intimacy, devoid of the formality and veneration found in the Dasyaras. Due to a greater sense of intimacy, the devotee functioning in paternal love chastises and rebukes the Lord in an ordinary way. On the platform of paternal love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer. Thus, the Lord is the object of maintenance, like a son, and therefore this mellow is full of the four qualities of Shantaras, Dasyaras, fraternity, and parental love. This is more transcendental nectar. The exchange of spiritual happiness between Krishna and his devotees, in which Krishna is controlled by his devotee, is compared to an ocean of nectar, in which the devotee and Krishna plunge. This is the verdict of learned scholars who appreciate Krishna's opulence. It is said in the Padma Purana, "Again let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O my Lord, I offer my obeisances hundreds and thousands of times with all affection, because by your personal pastimes you plunge the gopis into an ocean of nectar. Appreciating your opulence, devotees generally declare that you are always subjugated by their feelings." On the platform of conjugal love, attachment for Krishna, rendering service unto him, the relaxed feelings of fraternity, and the feelings of maintenance all increase in intimacy. On the platform of conjugal love, the devotee offers his body in the service of the Lord. Thus, on this platform, all five transcendental qualities are present. All the material qualities evolve one after another in the material elements, beginning from ether. By gradual evolution, first one quality develops, then two qualities develop, then three and four, until all five qualities are found in earth. Similarly, on the platform of conjugal love, all the feelings of the devotees are amalgamated. The intensified taste is certainly wonderful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then concluded, "I have simply given a general survey describing the mellows of devotional service. You can consider how to adjust and expand this. When one thinks of Krishna constantly, love for him is manifest within the heart. Even though one may be ignorant, one can reach the shore of the ocean of transcendental love by Krishna's mercy." After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Srila Rupa Goswami. The Lord then decided to go to the city of Benares. The next morning, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arose and prepared to leave for Varanasi, Srila Rupa Goswami made the following statement at the Lord's lotus feet. "If you give me permission, I shall go with your lordship. It is not possible for me to tolerate the waves of separation." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Your duty is to carry out my order. You have come near Vrindavan, now you should go there. Later you can go from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri through Bengal. There you will meet me again." After embracing Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got into a boat. Rupa Goswami fainted and fell down on the spot. The Brahmin from Dekan took Rupa Goswami to his home, and thereafter the two brothers departed for Vrindavan. After walking and walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived at Varanasi, where he met Chandrasekhar, who was coming out of the city. In a dream, Chandrasekhar had seen that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to his home. Therefore, in the morning, Chandrasekhar went outside the city to receive the Lord. While Chandrasekhar was waiting outside the city, he suddenly saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrive, and he fell down at the Lord's feet. Being very happy, he took the Lord to his home. Tapan Mishra also heard the news of the Lord's arrival in Varanasi, and he went to Chandrasekhar's house to meet him. After talking, he invited the Lord to take lunch at his place. Tapan Mishra took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his own house and gave him lunch. Chandrasekhar invited Balabhadra Bhattacharya to take lunch at his home. After offering lunch to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tapan Mishra begged a favor from the Lord and requested him to reward him mercy. Tapan Mishra said,
"As long as your lordship stays in Varanasi, please do not accept an invitation from anyone but me."
It was well known to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he would remain there only for 5 or 7 days. He would not accept any invitation that involved Mayavadi sannyasis. With this understanding, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to accept lunch at the place of Tapan Mishra. The Lord made his residence at the home of Chandrasekhar. The Maharashtriya Brahmin came, and the Lord met him. Out of affection, the Lord bestowed his mercy upon him. Hearing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come, all the respectable members of the Brahmin and Kshatriya communities came to see him. Much mercy was thus bestowed upon Sri Rupa Goswami, and I have briefly described all those topics. Whoever hears this narration with faith and love certainly develops love of God at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 19 of the Madhya Lila, The Lord Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami.